Amen. Thank you, Caitlin, for the beautiful song, The Truth. What an encouraging song to hear. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and anybody here that's a guest. Before we continue with today's message, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. Lord, we come here today not to hear a speaker behind here. We come to hear your word. We come to hear the thoughts that you gave to the speaker, Lord. We come to be edified, to know how much you love each and every person here, Lord. That's the truth. And so, Lord, as we start this message, that you would help guide it by your Holy Spirit, that it would be a blessing to all those that hear. For the Christian, that it would encourage us as you walk out these doors. And for anybody here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would ask you into their heart to know that they're saved, to know for sure where they're going, which would be in your presence for all eternity in heaven, Lord. So we just ask for that today, for your glory. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen. So I have a surprise for you this morning. Who doesn't like surprises? Now, some people don't like surprises. And for example, this has happened to me. I walk out of a business establishment and I walk to my car and there's a flat tire. If that happened to you? It happened to me once. I had the flu. I was working late by myself when I worked for Ford. I walked outside. It was a thunderstorm. All I wanted to do was go home and walk out to my car. I see a flat tire in the middle of the parking lot. No one's around. That's not a good surprise. Something breaks in your home. You have to get repairs to repair it, and you get this nice bill that happens to fit perfectly with your budget at the moment. Yeah, that happens, right? Well, I got a good surprise for you today. I wish we had a drum roll, but we don't have that, unless Michael Puzon back there can do some magic. But I have a surprise, and my family's only seen this, my girls and Caitlin, and I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. But for those of you who know me well, have never seen me have this before. So I got a surprise. You ready? All right, here we go. You're not laughing at me. You're laughing with me, right? I got reading classes for Christmas. I was going to say that my wife was nagging me to go to the doctor's, but I don't think that would go well this morning. Probably sleeping outside tonight in the dark, and I don't like the dark. Too many noises at night. So I want to say this. I want to say this instead. My wife, Caitlin, has been encouraging me in the Lord to go to the doctors to get my eyes checked because she loves me with all her heart, and she cares about my well-being. Doesn't that sound better? She says I look like Clark Kent. Who am I to argue? But all joking aside, I do not think I'm Superman. I played golf for the first time in a year last week, and after 18 holes, the next day I was really sore, like I played tackle football. And golf's a no-contact sport, so that just tells you I'm not Superman. But when I think of the letter S, who do I think of? Savior. I think of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that is the reason why we're here today. The reason why we have the best hope ever as a Christian. Jesus is more than a superhero, amen? So I got these eyeglasses, and I have to admit, they've helped Caitlin. See, I'm humbling myself here today. Because eyeglasses help you improve to see, right? They help correct vision problems. Things are not as clear when you don't have glasses when you need them. The truth is distorted. But when you have them on, things look better. You can see more clearly the truth. And it got me thinking, as a Christian, we need to have our spiritual glasses on. Because without them, we'll have blurry spiritual vision. You see, the Lord wants us to see the truths in our lives. But he also wants us to see clearly the lies. The Lord wants us to listen to the truths. And he also wants us not to listen to the lies. The song that Caitlin sang today was the truth. It was written by an artist named Megan Woods. And she says this about the song. The song is about who we are in Christ. Growing up, I always felt unworthy of love. I had no confidence and did not feel accepted. This song is a reminder that we are more than accepted. God sees us. We were fearfully and wonderfully made, handcrafted in His image. My deepest prayer is that you listen to the song, and the song will be louder than the voices of the enemy. The title of my message today is simply Truths and Lies. Truths and Lies. And I want to focus on 2 points. If you could put those on the screen, brothers and sisters back there, thank you. One, who is the truth and who is the liar? And two, what are the truths and what are the lies? The word truth means the quality or state of being true. True is in accordance with fact or reality. It is accurate and exact. What's a lie? It's a false statement made with the intent to deceive or mislead someone. It is the opposite of truth. You see, the Bible is full of truths, but it also calls out the lies. You see, you can't just look at the truths. You have to look at the lies. We need to compare them so we clearly see what is the truths and what are the lies. Remember, the truths combats the lies. And I say this because we have the truth. And who is the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ. We have on the other side, who is the liar? Who is the father of lies? The deceiver, which we know is Satan. He's always here roaming around, isn't he? He would love that this message is not preached today. He would love that a song was not sang. He would love that the lights do not work. He would love that we wouldn't have breaking of bread today. You see, Satan, as we know, started his lies and deception in the Garden of Eden. First, we know in Genesis what the Lord told Adam in Genesis chapter 2, 15 through 17. And God's word says this: the Lord took the man, which is Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And here's Satan roaming around as a serpent and what he tells Eve. Listen to the type of person or being he is. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from the from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" We know the rest of the story. Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They disobeyed. They sinned. And now when God was talking to Adam about death, he wasn't talking that he was going to die instantly. He was talking about 2 things. One, he was talking about spiritual death, which is the reason why Jesus Christ came. Sin had entered the world. We are, because of Adam's sin, we were all born with sin. And what does sin do? It breaks our relationship with God. It breaks our peace with Him. Right? And we know God requires a requirement, a penalty to be paid for sin. And what was Jesus? He paid the penalty, didn't He? That's why He came. He went to the cross to die for each, everyone here. And that's why He rose again and conquered death. So that anybody here who's lost can ask Him for forgiveness and sins and be their Lord and Savior. And then their relationship is restored and peace is restored. God also was talking to Adam about progressive physical death, which we see today in the world. This was their penalty and they were banished from the Garden of Eden. But what do we see from these scriptures? We see Satan throwing out the lies, don't we? We see his deception is to doubt God. To question Him. He accuses God of not having the right motives or not having Adam and Eve's best interest. And ultimately, he succeeds in the situation. He wants to do the same in our lives. Doesn't he whisper to you, God doesn't have your best interest? God doesn't have right motives? They're all lies. I got a couple more verses about our enemy, because we need to know who he is and not forget and let our guard down. In John chapter 8, 44, the Bible speaks that he is a liar. And we know from this portion of Scripture, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and we know the Pharisees, who they were, ungodly, evil people. And Jesus says to him in chapter 8, verse 44, you belong to the Father, your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Powerful verse. I know Satan likes to deceive people. He likes to keep them from believing things that are true. He likes to actively blind the minds of the unbelievers to come to Christ. Keep them to coming to faith. His purpose is to keep them from seeing the light. If you have people in your life who are not Christians, this is what he's doing today. He does not want them to come through these doors to hear God's word. He doesn't want them to hear the message of salvation. He doesn't want them hanging around you because you are the light. And that's all he does. Because he's a liar and he's a deceiver. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 has another powerful verse that backs up my point, because it's God's word. It says, the God of this age, is talking about Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we know who the liar is, don't we? Oh, but we know the truth. Who is the truth? I can say it all day. It's Jesus Christ. So let's talk about Jesus. And I got quite a few verses today, so hang in there. But you got to speak the truth, and God's word is true. Let's combat the lies with truth to what the Bible says. Lies regarding Jesus. He's just a man. Just another religious figure in world history. A good guy. Cared about people, loving. Or the lies say he doesn't exist. He's a fairy tale. He's like Santa Claus. Hope I didn't spoil that for anybody, by the way. But that's what the lies say, don't they? But what does the Bible say? The Bible says he is the truth and the only way to heaven. He is the source of life. In John chapter 14, verse 6, we know this verse very well. But Jesus is comforting his disciples at this time because he knows the time is near where he will be crucified, where he will die for our sins. And so he's comforting them in this section. He says this powerful verse, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's as clear as day, isn't it? I got more lies for you. The lie says the Big Bang Theory, which is the origin and expansion of the universe, or evolution, the origin and development of Earth, that all these came to be apart from a God. Natural processes, right? No creator. That's the lie. But what does the truth say? I hear you, Dean. Jesus is God's son. He is the creator of all things. The truth is he controls the universe. And in Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 17, has a beautiful description of our Lord Jesus. It says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He created the universe. He created this world. He created Adam and Eve, the animals. He created you and I. And yet everything that we see, everything we don't see, is in his powerful hands. That is who our Lord Jesus Christ is. Amen? Moral lies. The lies say the Bible is one of many great books written, but do not take it literally. Again, it's a fairy tale. I've had teachers in college when I went to San Francisco State that brought up the Bible in class. It wasn't even part of the curriculum, but you can tell they were anti-Christianity. And I had one teacher who would spend a half a day talking about the Bible and how it wasn't true. I'll never forget her. I pray to this day that she's a believer. But boy, she was putting in people's minds that the Bible was false, that it's a fairy tale. And how many students in that class on that day heard her and believed her? The lies say that prophecy spoken in the Bible was humans' minds that thought of it. Humans' ideas. But what does the Bible say? It says the truth is his word is true. It is given by him. The prophecy spoken in the Bible came straight from the mind of God. It is his message. It is guided by him. I got two more beautiful verses for you that talk about the truth of God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16. And a lot of the verses I'm sharing today are very popular, well-known verses. That's why we read them all the time, because it speaks the truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. God's word is his, and it helps us in our Christian life. I am not reading man's philosophy or thoughts to guide my life. I'm not listening to a smart man or a woman who happened to be educated with a lot of money and influence. No, when I read God's word, I'm reading it straight from him. 2 Peter 1:21. Another great verse. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who carries us along. If God gives you the opportunity to witness to somebody, Ken, you shared about it on Wednesday. Who carried you as you talked to that man? You're guided by the Holy Spirit. It's not our knowledge or wisdom. God gives us the Holy Spirit when you get saved, and he gives us the words and the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to witness to people. It is him only. We're just that empty vessel. Nothing ever to get too proud about, right? Another lie. The lies say there are many ways to salvation. You know, there are many religions out there. They're all worship the same God. You're all fine, whatever you're doing. We hear that all the time in this day and age. Or the lies say that Christianity is one of many false religions. Right? Man created it. There's no heaven or hell. It's a scare tactic. Oh, but what does the Bible say? Heaven and hell is mentioned throughout Scripture. You can't deny it. You can't run away from it. There's been a whole seminar talking about heaven and hell. They're literal places. The Bible tells us Jesus is the only way to salvation. Clear cut. No other way. There's no other gods. There's no other religions. No other book. It's only through him salvation. And we have many verses that can back that up. If I go across this room right now and ask people to raise their hand about verses about salvation, you could probably have many. Dean, you could probably cite 50 off the top of your mind. But that's the beauty of it. God's word backs up what he says. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Peter is testifying in front of questioning rulers and elders and teachers of the law after they healed a blind beggar, or actually a beggar who was crippled. And what does Peter say to these men who are questioning him? He says, salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Again, God's word is clear. Jesus is the only way. You know, Christians, we live our lives with a lot of battles and trials and testings, and we need to cling to God's word. We need to cling to his truth. Because his truth always reminds us how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. His truth reminds us how much our lives are in his hands and nothing can take us from him. And so when I was thinking about that, I thought of another popular section of Scripture in Romans chapter 8. When Paul writes about Jesus' love for you and I, we need to remember these verses so we can cling to them. Romans 8, verse 35 says this: "Who should separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword?" He continues in verses 38 and 39. And I love when Paul says this: "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that beautiful to cling to? That Jesus loves you 24/7, 365 days a year, and nothing can separate you from Him. My last verses I want to share today is one of my favorite portions of Scripture that I have meditated and clinged to and rejoiced in for many, many years. The truth is that how much Jesus loves me because I am His sheep and He's my shepherd. We are His forever. John chapter 10, 27 through 29. Jesus is speaking to the Jews who did not believe Him and were questioning Him. Isn't Jesus always questioned? Wasn't godly men like Peter and Paul always questioned? But they always responded with the truth. Not like Satan, who likes to respond with lies. And so what does Jesus tell them? "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." I'm so glad that my life is in His hands. I'm so glad that I can wake up every morning, no matter what's going on, I can cling to these verses about truth. And so we have a lot of wonderful truths in the Bible. I just summarized just a glimpse of them. And probably sitting in your seat now, you could probably think of other verses at the top of your head that speaks to God's truth, that have comforted you, that have helped you in your Christian life. So I thought about all the wonderful truths, and I want to summarize them in 7 points. And some of this is repeat what I've shared before, but I really want to bring home my point, because we have a lot to rejoice in. See, a Christian should live a rejoicing, praising life for the Lord because of what we have in Him. Jesus wants us to cling to His truths so we have joy in the journey. Yes, you can have joy in your trials and testings. So here we go. One, the truth is He created us wonderfully made, handcrafted in His image. Jesus created you individually. Should make you feel special this morning. Whether you are a Christian or not, He still created you. Two, as Christians, the truth is we are His children. Before Christ, what does the Bible say? We are His enemy. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, what does He say? You become a child of God. What a wonderful truth this morning. If you've never had good parents or had a rough upbringing, take courage in this verse. You are His child. Three, the truth is He loves you. Don't ever get tired of hearing it. You know, we hear about God's love all the time. Turn on K-Love. Every Christian song is about love, pretty much. You come breaking the bread, we hear it. But sometimes as Christians, that can become a little stale in our lives. Don't ever forget how much God loves you. Don't ever forget how much Jesus Christ loves you. That is so encouraging, isn't it? Don't ever get tired of hearing it. I don't get tired of telling my kids how much I love them. There's not one day where I've ever felt, I don't want to say I love my kids today. No. Jesus is saying with you and I, He's telling you every day how much He loves you. Five, the truth is He's always here to forgive, heal, and restore. Jesus Christ forgave us when we asked forgiveness for our sins when we came to the cross for salvation. But what does he do now? He still forgives you when you sin. Doesn't he restore? You ever had a rough patch in your Christian life where you've maybe backslid, and we use the word backslid, or had a rough patch where you felt away from God and you come back to him? Did not he restore you? Does not he heal? Jesus heals. I'll testify about that all day long. He heals, doesn't he? Past life, past disappointments. Even now when you need healing, because it's the truth. Five, the truth is he's always here to provide. Whatever we need. Encouragement, Jesus provides. In your weakest moments, carry you. Give you strength. Give you comfort. We can go on and on how Jesus provides because it's the truth. You have a home, a roof over your head. You go to bed tonight with your stomach full. Your bills are being paid. You have a car that runs. Isn't Jesus providing? Don't forget it. Don't be grateful for it. Six, truth is nothing can take us from his hands. No one is more powerful than our Lord. And I read that in John chapter 10, 27 through 29. But I love it because Jesus' hand's always upon me and I can feel his presence when I need it. And lastly, number seven, for the Christian, the truth is your eternity is set. Heaven is your final home and nothing that happens on this earth can change that. Nothing can change that. Can the world change your salvation where you're headed to? Can Satan change it? Can he come here and take away your salvation? No. Can your trials and testings take away your eternity? No. If you sin or backslide, can that take away where you're going? No. Our eternity is set. Praise God for that. Dear Christians, let's remember who is the truth and who is the liar. You know, when I was preparing this message, I have my desk is upstairs in my master bedroom, and Caitlin was out. And I went upstairs to my room. And we know as Christians, before we prepare a message or devotion or any ministry, we usually pray before. And so I prayed, and after I prayed, I wanted to listen to Caitlin's song, The Truth, because I love that song. I must have listened to it 50 times the last couple months. And so I put the song on because I wanted to hear it, and I put my earphones on. And you know what thought came to my mind? This is the honest truth. I knew where it came from. The thought was this. Why are you listening to this song? And why are you preparing this message? You and Caitlin are going to be sick on Sunday, March 23rd. That's the God honest truth. I knew where it came from. Satan does whisper, doesn't he? So I paused the song. And I said out loud, I don't have time for the lies today. In Jesus' name, I don't have time for the lies today. I want to listen to the song and I want to prepare a message you put on my heart. And the voice left. And God helped me put together today's message. Christians, I want you to remember something. Listen to the truth of encouragement. Listen to the truth of encouragement. Because that's who Jesus Christ is. And that's who his word tells us. Because encouragement builds up. Christians, do not listen to the lies of discouragement. Let me repeat that. Do not listen to the lies of discouragement. Because discouragement tears down. See, what Satan wants to do on that Saturday that I was preparing, he wanted me to just get stuck in that thought. Get paranoid. Oh, man, we might get sick. You know, I'm a germaphobe. Right? And then your mind goes wandering, and a half an hour later, where's the message? But that's what he does. And praise God, because today is March 23rd, Sunday at 12:15. And God had Caitlin sing a song. And God had me up here. Because who's more powerful than the liar? Christians, God wants you to keep your spiritual glasses on. Satan wants you to take it off so you cannot see clearly. See, right now, if I take these off, the words look a little fuzzy. Better put them back on. But what does he do? He whispers insecurities in your ear. Suppose God asks you to do something. Or in your ministries. He wants to discourage you in your ministries. Whisper things like, God can't use you. You know, and remember this was your past? You don't know enough. You're not equipped. You will fail. I know that you know what I'm talking about. Perhaps if you're going through a trial and testing, he'll whisper, the Lord does not care about you. Look what you're going through. He's not with you. You're not going to make it. Perhaps if you need to get right with God, have not gone to church, don't have a relationship with him anymore, Satan will tell you, you're too far down the road. Time's up. You failed too many times. You've rejected me too many times. I don't want to hear from you. And it goes on and on, the lies. He will not heal you. He tells the lies, Jesus will leave you hanging. Satan tries to get you to make wrong decisions if you believe his lies enough. He wants you to forget who you are in Christ, like Caitlin's song sang today. He wants you to forget what we have in Christ. He wants you to forget how powerful your Lord and Savior is. He wants to beat you down and discourage you. We all know what this feels like. I know we do. Satan gets successful. We start listening to his voice. We start listening to the lies. We think the lies are the truth. Instead, Jesus is saying, don't listen to him. Listen to the voice of truth. Listen to me. So Christians, I pray that we keep our spiritual glasses on, that we see the truth, that we live out the truth, that we cling to his word and apply it. We count the truth of his blessings. Be thankful for what you have in Jesus Christ. Because what he did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, he conquered death. Be thankful for the truth of heaven. You have an inheritance that should never spoil or fade. And then may God use us as vessels to tell the truth. To help each other to not listen to the lies or the liar. May God use us each to encourage each other. I pray this message is encouraging to you today. And then may God use us to tell the truth for those who do not know him. We have a world today that do not know Jesus Christ. Many people, family, friends, co-workers, your neighbor. You never know how God can use you. May he use you to tell the truth. May SRVBC always be a church that tells the truth. And we will, and we have. For the non-believer, and I don't know who's saved and who's not in this room, but as you read before, Satan wants to keep you blinded spiritually. So that you cannot see the truth. He tells some lies that God does not love you to the non-believer. That you've done too many wrongs, too much sin. He tells them all God wants to do is cause you pain. Control your life. If you become a Christian, you'll have no more freedom. You'll be trapped in a religion. You know, the church just wants your money. He uses that one. Oh, the church just wants numbers. Of course you want a full church. That's a no-brainer. We want a full church because we want people to hear the word and be edified. We don't care about numbers. We care about salvation. But Satan will say that no more fun in the Christian life. You know, we had a brother named J.A. Carroll, for those who've been around for a while, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this, but I'll never forget this kind of quote. He said, someone told me when you become a Christian, you have no more fun. And he said, I had more fun as a Christian in one day than a year without Christ. Amen. Boy, that's a true statement. I had more fun as a Christian in a week than my whole life before him. That is a God-honest truth. So Satan tells that to some believers. God doesn't love you, wants to cause you pain. For others, he says you're doing fine. You know, there are many, many thousands of churches in the United States of America. A lot of people go to church. But a lot of people don't go to Bible-believing churches or go to churches where the salvation is preached, or go to churches and don't ever give their life to Jesus Christ. And Satan tells those people, you're doing fine. Go to church when you want to go. He tells other people that are involved in community service, perhaps you're a coach or involved with their HOA, and nothing's wrong with being part of those things. But he will tell people to get your life busy with those things. You're doing fine. You're serving your community. You pay your taxes. He tells those type of lies, right? And regardless what type of non-believer you are, the bottom line is he does not want you saved. He wants you to be confused. He wants you to stay lost. He wants you to stay headed for hell. It's plain and simple. And I pray here today that every person here that's listening to this, whether you're online or in your seat, that you would see the truth that we talked about today. The truth is how much Jesus Christ loves you. The truth is he went to the cross for your sins. You know, salvation is an invitation. I have an invitation here. It's an invitation, isn't it? God does not force anybody into heaven. We know that. You can't get to heaven because your dad's a Christian. You can't get to heaven because your spouse is a Christian. You can't get to heaven because your sibling's a Christian. It is an individual choice by each person that you need to make. And if you're listening here today and you're not clear that you're saved, God wants you to be clear today, to make no doubt where you're going. He doesn't care how many times you said no. He doesn't care how many times you rejected him. He doesn't care about your sins. He's not going to name them in front of you and beat you up. All he's asking is, come to me, accept my invitation. Ask forgiveness for your sins and ask me to be your Lord and Savior so that you know that your eternity is set. So I ask anybody here who's not a Christian, will you accept his invitation? It's not mine. It's his. Because I pray that every single person that walks out these doors can see that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Amen? So let us remember who is the truth and who is the liar. And let's remember what are the truths and what are the lies. And may the Lord help us. Amen? Let's end in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord. We come here early in the morning to break bread, to partake of the emblems, to remember what you did for us on the cross, and to thank you for our wonderful salvation. And then we come here in the second half, Lord, to hear a song to give you glory and praise. And then we come to hear your word, that we may listen to it and apply it, and meditate on it, cling to it, keep it in our hearts so we walk out these doors, we live a victorious Christian life, that we are a light to this world. And so, Lord, I pray that this message was an encouragement to all those that heard, that we would listen to you, the truth. And Lord, if anybody here is not a Christian, or anybody here that needs to be right with you, that they would be right with you so they would walk the Christian life that you want them to live. And if anybody's here that does not know you, we pray for their salvation, Lord. They would ask you into their heart, Lord, so they would know that their eternity is set with no questions, Lord. And so, Lord, as we walk out these doors, we ask that you protect us on the road. Give us strength in the week that we have before us until we meet again. We love you and we praise you. In your most precious name we pray. Amen.